of heights to the depths of the sea.
Moreover, verse 11, he made high places. So Jehoram, his father and his grandfather took those things away, but now he made high places in the mountains on purpose and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry and led Judah astray. And again, this is exactly what his grandfather and his father sought to put away from Judah. And now he is specifically putting them back in place. This is really bad.
All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck with...
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher Rob Kellogg. We learn today that it was the policy of both his father Jehoshaphat and his grandfather Asa to work against the high places. Jehoram promoted them. Their idolatry was likened to harlotry for two reasons. First, the worship of these pagan sex fertility gods and goddesses often involved immorality with the pagan priestess and priests. Second, since Israel was obligated to be faithful to God, as a wife is obligated to be faithful to her husband, their idolatry was like harlotry in a spiritual sense. Now let's join Pastor Rob.
With the blows of the sons of men, but my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And notice in verse 16, God says it again. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. No, I didn't repeat myself. That's exactly what it says. And whenever God repeats himself like that, there's a reason. It's to drive home the point that your kingdom will be established forever. And it will be, and it is, and it will continue, and we will be part of that kingdom. Amen. Yes. So back in verse 8 in our text, and it says that in his days, in these days of Jehoram, Edom revolted against Judah's authority. So Edom was sort of like under Judah's authority. Now Edom was a people group that came from Esau, remember, which was Jacob's twin brother, Jacob and Esau, remember? Well, the people of Esau, they were actually called Edom. So Esau was the progenitor of the Edomites, or the people from Edom, and we know that they lived in this area off to the east of the Dead Sea, down here in the southeast of the Dead Sea. Edom was through here, and Mount Seir, and Seir and Edom is all the same right here, okay? And so, this is where these folks from Edom had revolted against Judah's authority. So Jehoram, he went out with his officers and all his chariots. Notice there's no mention of prayer. There's no mention of seeking the Lord at all. And such is true for Jehoram. If this would have been David, David would have inquired of the Lord. He would have said, Lord, should we go after them? And the Lord will give him an answer. And David would obey. But there's no mention of Jehoram seeking the Lord at all. And because he's not a believer, he's not a worshiper of God. In fact, his heart is so far from God that he is, to go out in battle at this point, he's in great jeopardy. Because he's out from the protection of God. He's outside the will of God. And so Jehoram went out with his officers and all of his chariots with him. And he rose by night and he attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him and the captains of the chariots. Now in 2 Kings 8:21, it says that Jehoram went to this place called Zair, and it is this place right, this is the Dead Sea here, and this is the southern part of the Dead Sea. And right below that, right there where I've got a red circle, just to the south of that southern section of the Dead Sea is possibly where what's being referred to here. In fact, it might even be Zoar. If you remember back in Genesis 19, one of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Zoar was one of them, and this may be one that same place. Can't be dogmatic about that, but it's very possible. And so thus Edom had been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. And at that time, Libna revolted against his rule as well, because he had, because he had forsaken the Lord. And so we don't know where this place called Libna is specifically. There's a couple of places it could be, but there's no hard and fast understanding of its specific location. But notice something in verse 10. It says, at that time, Libna revolted against his rule, against Jehoram's rule. Do you sense that things are starting to fall apart for him? He's involved in some things that he knows he ought not to be. He's married the wrong woman. He's now with the wrong family. He's married into this evil family. There's no prayer in his life. He's just kind of doing his own thing. He did it his way. You know, he probably had on his iPod, you know, Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. You know, and so he's out there doing his own thing. And at that time, Libna also revolted against his rule. And why? The Bible tells us right there. Because he had forsaken the Lord God of his father. That's the reason why. That Libna and all these things are happening. And you know, sometimes when we are walking in sin and walking in rebellion, the Lord allows the heat to turn up in our life. I've experienced this in real time many times before I was 20, before 24, and even beyond that, honestly. But when I wasn't a believer, there were many times that I was walking in sin or walking in rebellion against God, and God would allow things to heat up in my life to get my attention. And it was hard to be, it's hard to be a sinner. I mean, it really is, because your life is a mess, and you're always in travail. You're always in a mess, and you're struggling, and you're guilty, and you know it. But these things happened because he had forsaken Jehovah God of his fathers. And it brings to mind a couple of verses. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin, that's what we get when we sin. We receive something in place of sin. We receive something when we sin, and that is death. Whether it's an immediate death or a death that's going to slowly take us. Death is more than just a physical death, because death can be just a clouding of your judgment, a clouding of your heart, and slowly your mind and your conscience and your heart is being taken over. And really what's happening is the shadow is coming over your heart and your mind. And that alone is death. And it's a process. And when that finally, that process takes you over, then finally physical death takes you. And then it gets even worse, because then you spend an eternity in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. I don't know about you, but that's the life I used to walk, and I don't walk there anymore. I don't want to walk there anymore. Have you been redeemed by Jesus? Do you love him? Are you being obedient to him and not just saying, well, I know I'm a believer and I got my ticket to heaven and I'm going to do my own thing now. Listen, don't do your own thing. Do God's thing. Do what he says in here and read it and know it and be obedient to it. And your life will be a blessing. Yes, even on this earth, it'll be a blessing. Sin is not fun. The Bible does say it's pleasurable for a season. And usually it's just a moment that sin is pleasurable, and then the bill comes due. Can anybody relate to that? Raise your hand if you can. Just raise them real high, because I know that to be true in my life. Sin is pleasurable, but then the snake bites and the poison is horrible. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You reap corruption. You sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And that's what America is doing today, by the way. We've sown to the wind, and we're reaping the whirlwind as we speak, and we are going down fast. And I would encourage anybody in the hearing of this message to turn their hearts to God. Even you believers, all of us, to repent of anything and everything that is we know is wrong, and for America to repent of their sins. Our sins are loaded to the heaven. And this country needs to repent of her idolatry. And they are many. And God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And just as he chastened his own people, he will easily chasten us. And I believe we are being chastened very sorely. And I am afraid it's going to get a lot worse. Aren't you glad you came tonight? To hear some bad news? Hey, but listen, for you and I, we keep our eyes on Jesus because we have good news. And we know the end of this. We know what's coming. And unfortunately, many do not. That's why we have to tell them the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moreover, verse 11, he made high places. So Jehoram, his father and his grandfather took those things away, but now he made high places in the mountains on purpose and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry and led Judah astray. And again, this is exactly what his grandfather and his father sought to put away from Judah. And now he is specifically putting them back in place. This is really bad. And a letter came to him, verse 12. A letter came to Jehoram from Elijah the prophet. And notice what it says. Thus says the Lord God of your father David. Now, whenever something like this happens, when a prophet comes to you and he says, thus says the Lord God of your fathers, you'd better listen because it's usually never good. When a prophet came to a king and says, thus says the Lord God, you better start kneeling because God is about to humble you. And notice what the Lord says to Jehoram. Because you have not walked, or let me finish this. In this case, it was not a good thing. And notice something specific that the Lord mentioned. He mentioned David, his father. Now, David wasn't his immediate father, but father in the sense of his ancestor and progenitor of the dynasty of Judah. But notice the comparison that God is drawing between David, who was an upright and deemed an upright man and a great king, versus Jehoram and his ungodly character. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. He was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel, but unfortunately, Jehoram was none of these. And so when the Lord says, thus says the Lord God of your father, David, what the Lord is doing is setting up a comparison. In other words, David was really awesome, but not so much you. And he says, thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, or in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, his father and his grandfather, but, verse 13, you have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and you've made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot, like the harlotry of the house of Ahab, and you've also killed your brothers, those of your father's household, who were better than yourself. And notice again that although Jehoshaphat followed tradition concerning his heir, Jehoram's brother were better than him because the Lord said so. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children and your wives and all your possessions, and you will become very sick with the disease of your intestines, until your intestines come out by reason of the sickness day by day. I don't know about you, but I can take a cut on the leg. I can take a bruise. I can take, you know, things of that nature. But to have something going on in your intestines is quite the unfortunate thing. If you've had a stomach bug that lasted more than a few days, you know what I'm talking about. And this was much, much worse. But notice that when we turn from the Lord, that we are not the only one who suffers, because sin is not committed in a vacuum. It affects everyone around us. In fact, in Ezekiel, it says this. He says, because the Lord says, yet you say, Israel, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? And the Lord answers, because the son has done what is lawful and right and has kept all my statutes and observed them. He shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So even though God doesn't put the guilt of the Father's sin upon the children and vice versa, many times the children and others experience the fallout or the consequences of their father's sin and rebellion. History proves it. Even today, a father could be an alcoholic, and even though God's going to deal with him on his sin, his sons and his daughters, his kids, his family, they're going to pay the price. Not in the sense because they did anything wrong, but because of the consequence of the father, of how he's just going to be out to lunch. He's not going to be a good provider. Sometimes he's violent. Sometimes he's checked out emotionally. And so the family suffers. And then he loses his job. And now the father can't pay the income and doesn't have an income to support his family. And the family suffers because of the man, because of the sin of the man. And so God is saying to him, people around you are going to suffer because of you. But you are also going to have some difficulty as well, Jehoram. You're going to have a disease in your intestines, and it's going to get worse day by day until your intestines come out of you. That sounds pretty bad. Can anyone say amen? Actually, that's not something you want to say amen about, but it's a horrible thing. Moreover, verse 16, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah, notice, and they invaded it, and they carried away all the possessions that were found in the king's house, and also his sons and his wives, so that there was not a son left to him except Jehoahaz, the youngest of these sons. And Jehoahaz is just another name for Ahaziah. In 2 Chronicles, in two chapters from now, in chapter 22, verse 1, it tells us that that's who it is, okay? So Jehoahaz is equivalent to Ahaziah. And you can put 2 Chronicles 22, verse 1. It corroborates that statement, okay? But after this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. And then it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness. So he died in severe pain, no kidding. And his people made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers. There is more than likely a name for this disease that he had. We really don't know what it is. But this idea of burning was not the cremation like it sounds like, but rather it was a ceremony that was given. And a lot of times what they do is they put spices and ointments around the body and they would light them and it would give off this aroma and it would be something they would do to honor the king that was a good king. But they didn't do it for him because he was a horrible king. In fact, when he finally died, the people were like, glad he's out of here. But he was 32 years old, verse 20, when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow he departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Now, the city of David, do you remember the name of the city of David? What's it called? It starts with a Z. Zion, right? The city of David is Zion. And Zion is just a portion of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is like the city, but Zion is this little place. Actually, it's about 22 acres, but it's on the southern end of the Temple Mount today. And in fact, if you go to Israel, you visit David's Zion, where they have uncovered his palace. And they've even uncovered this place of the tombs of the kings. And the last two times I've been to Israel, we had walked right by those tombs. And they go back several feet into the embedded rock. And their bodies are no longer there, of course. But they would bury the good kings in those places right there in Zion. But with this man, because he was so evil, he was buried in Zion, but he was buried somewhere else, not with the other good kings. And rightfully so. Now let's get into 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Notice, then the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. So Jehoram passes from the scene, and now Ahaziah is his youngest son. Excuse me. For the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. And so Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, he reigned. And do you ever notice just the unraveling? I mean, sometimes really difficult and hard things happen, right, to good people. And you know what I mean by good people. I mean, none of us are really good. But for those who are actually following the Lord, they love the Lord, and God is blessing their lives. But sometimes a believer will go through some very deep trials, some very difficult and hard things. And certainly God has a purpose and plan for these things, and we don't always understand what they are. But this man, just from the very beginning, it's just all these calamities came upon him. And you would think at some point he would just, you know, especially when he got the disease of the intestines, you know, that his father, Jehoram, would have cried out to the Lord and said, you know what, uncle, I give. I'm kind of that way. Whenever I go through something that's really painful, the first place I go, honestly, is to the Lord. I get on my face and I say, Lord, I've done something. If I've done anything, I don't know if I have. And sometimes I know what it is, and sometimes I'm not sure. But I'm going to seek him, and I'm going to say, Lord, whatever it is that you want to show me through this, you've got my attention. And the Lord has a way of, and it's different for every person. And that's what I love about God is sometimes, the Bible says that he chastens those whom he loves. And even for us believers, he chastens us sometimes. And he knows exactly the amount of fire I need under me to get me to wake up to something, to turn my eye away from something, to go in a different direction, to repent, basically. He knows exactly how much fire I need under me to get me to respond. And some people, he brings the blowtorch and they're like, I'm not moving. And they go through much suffering. And they never cry out to God. They just continue to find their solace in the bottom of a bottle or with a needle in the arm or some other drug. They continue in their ridiculous behavior, numbing themselves. But Ahaziah, his youngest son, became king in his place, for the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. And notice, Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king. Now, and he reigned one year in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Athaliah, this evil woman. We have already talked about her, the granddaughter of Omri, who was the progenitor, really, of the fourth dynasty in Israel. Now, there's something that you need to be aware of, and this is not like a huge deal, but there is a copyist error here. It says 42 years here in verse 2, but in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 26, which is really just a parallel account of this, it says Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king. And don't let any of this throw you, because the original scriptures were immaculate and flawless. But whenever there's a copyist, and if you know, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any means, but I do know something that when letters are written, and we've talked about this earlier.
That's the end of our study today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the book of 2 Chronicles. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.